Hey guys, welcome or welcome back to the channel McNally Money, the new home of power mining analysis. What a day to be in the Bitcoin mining sector, you guys. My voice is feeling better, Bitcoin is up, and the miners have finally seemed to have rebounded or found bottom from this slide that we've been witnessing over the last few weeks. Now we're going to talk about this in today's presentation, why we feel this is happening, our outlook and analysis moving into halving, which is now only hours away, you guys. So a lot to go through in today's video. Before we do though, you know the drill, hit the like button, you guys. Big help to the channel. Anthony loves it. If you're not already subscribed, McNally Money, feel free to join and let us know in the comment section below. Did you manage to hold strong through this shakeout? Are you still in these positions? Were you able to average down? And what is your outlook in a post-halving world? With that being said, let's get into today's video. Okay guys, so that's right, today's video, we have some great news. It appears the Bitcoin miners have bottomed. We've seen a rebound in the market here, you guys, at least in the last few hours of trading. So we had a green close yesterday, Anthony. Very nice to see our good friend, the Bitcoin mining stock guy. He posted this tweet saying he doesn't even recognize green anymore because we've seen so much red in the market. So what was interesting about yesterday, Anthony, was very low volume. Bitcoin was down heavily, but the miners, at least a good portion of them, managed to finish in the green. And on top of that, it's looking green this morning. So how are you feeling today, Anthony? It looks like we've made it potentially through this tunnel.
Yeah, I'm feeling okay, and you know, it's good to have a day where the red flags on show, you know, as we found for the last few weeks or since the turn of the year, actually, you know, with the mining stocks. You know, the end of December is where they were sort of like a high, and they seem to have, like, you know, lost a bit of ground. We showed that position yesterday, year-to-date position, and the average miner is down 30% since the 1st of January on the share prices in the year. Only one miner booked the trend, that was CleanSpot. But let's be honest, when you add 7 exahash to your 10 exahash that they had at the end of the year, that's going to spark any sort of, like, you know, increase in the share price. So, you know, when things like that occur at such a rapid rate, that's going to impact the share price. But even then, you can look at the CleanSpot share price was $23 on March the 27th, 28th, and then it's, you know, it's down now $14, $15. So it's dropped off a lot since it's high in this year. So, you know, like the other mining stocks. But you quite rightly show yesterday on Bitcoin really losing a bit of ground on where it was the day before, 4 or 5%, the mining stocks weren't affected. In fact, we had a few miners in the green yesterday, and we're seeing a little bit of green shoots today as well. But let's be honest, this space is volatile. And, you know, green can turn to red in a fraction of a second. And so that's the fun part of being in this space. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you sure don't. And I know when we were talking yesterday about some of the technical indicators, the RSI being very oversold, and we saw a lot of posts on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook yesterday talking about this, that there really wasn't a lot of sellers left at these prices. Anyone who was scared off or shaken out or wanted to move their money over to MicroStrategy or the ETFs, I've heard people talking about the leveraged ETFs now as well. They've pretty much done that, right? So the short sellers, as mentioned in prior videos, when you open a short position, you actually sell the shares to open. You buy them back when you're going to close your position. So that adds a lot of selling pressure on these companies. And you couple that with the halving news coming up, obviously the Bitcoin outflows from GBTC, maybe some negative sentiment from a political, geopolitical standpoint there as well. And it really did pile on these stocks. It weighed them down. But at some point, Anthony, you need to find the bottom. And as we talked about, I think 2 days ago, when you start to look at the book value, the enterprise value, the market cap compared to the HODL of some of these companies, the cash balance, the infrastructure they have, it just really wasn't making sense. And I remember you saying that specifically, Anthony, you just can't make sense of it. It appears now we've hit that threshold, hey?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we looked at two miners that had a book value higher than the market capitalization. And that was, you know, Iron and Hut 8. So, you know, Hut 8's HODL, you know, is literally their, you know, it's their market capitalization. And then you think you've got a whole business. The business comes free, effectively. You buy Hut 8 at the price it is at the moment, the business is free. They've got 20 exahash of assets under management. That's a That's the size of Core Scientific self-mining. That's the size of, you know, slightly less than what Marathon Digital have got in terms of, you know, of self-mining. But, it, you know, that business part of it comes free. Oh, and by the way, a HPC business thrown in for good measure as well. So it's not just about, you know, self-mining, hosting, managed services, got a hosting business. So all those four elements come free because the HODL value is about the same as the market capitalization. Now, we know that, you know, Hut 8 had its challenges before the merger. Obviously, since the merger, there's been, you know, we're waiting for the plans to take effect. And, you know, I think, you know, Asher should be given a little bit of time. He's just recently taken over as CEO. And so, you know, whenever you're going to change the you know, the head of the company, you're going to need time to get your plans in place. There's going to be a culture in there. They're going to have to change that culture within the organization, make sure everyone's following the plan. But he was very specific about, you know, when we get to Q3, judges on Q3, and we will be judging him on Q3. So we'll hold him down to that, and we'll get him on the podcast, and we'll ask him the questions, and we'll even ask him a few difficult questions, because I know people think sometimes we just throw a few softballs in. But, you know, bear in mind, these questions come from you guys. You're the subscribers. You're the guys that put the questions in the comments on social media, on X, on all the other Discord channels, on Telegram channels, and we take a selection of those questions. So, you know, those are the questions that are put forward. They get sent, you know, as part of the podcast to sort of like make sure they get covered in that hour we have with the CEO.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I actually just did a community post on our YouTube channel, Anthony. We've got the VP from Iron on Monday. He's heading the AI department. So obviously a lot of activity there with Poolside, all the AI development. And we actually pulled 8 questions out of 9 from the poll there. So appreciate you guys writing those in, and that'll be a good one to watch. The other one I wanted to talk about here, Soluna. I've been getting a lot of questions about that. I looked at the share price. They're essentially down, I don't know, based on today, but 50% month to date. And this business, we even talked to John, we reached out. There is nothing fundamentally that's changed. I don't even think they've had news since their March results came out. So when you talk about getting these stocks at a discount, you guys, literally nothing has changed in these businesses. And you're now able to pick up shares 2 for the price of 1, essentially. Now, the next tweet I wanted to bring
up. Can I just pick you up on that? I mean, I think I looked yesterday at Soluna, and, you know, we've just articulated about Hut 8 and about Iron, who are literally net asset value equals share price, which means for every dollar you're investing in those two companies, you're getting a dollar of assets, you know, versus you're investing $3 to $4 in CleanSpark and Cypher Mining, and you're getting a dollar of assets for your $3 to $4. Now, there are other metrics that will determine why those have got a premium, and you know, look at the profitability, the marginal electricity. But at the end of the day, you know, it's still about valuations. You look at Soluna, for every 30 cents, 35 cents you're investing, you get a dollar of assets. That is purely, you know, from a valuation perspective, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, it's beyond belief. So for every 35 cents you're investing in there, they've got a dollar of net assets against that stock. The valuation is really low. The CEO's come out and said, you know, there's nothing out, there's no news out there. I mean, you can understand if you were sort of like, you know, issuing a big ATM, or you had, you know, a legal cost that was coming in that you weren't anticipating, you know, from a plaintiff potential like that. So you put in some sort of like, you know, the risk of potentially having to pay out some of these things there. And because it's a small company, bear in mind the market capitalization is single digits in the millions. So, you know, it's great being a Marathon Digital where, you know, your market capitalization is, you know, over 4 billion. But let's go back 3 and a bit years ago. Marathon Digital's market capitalization was about, you know, 7 or 8 million. So, you know, these companies were there not that long ago, and where they are now. So, you know, I don't predict where Marathon will be in 3 years, and I can't predict where Soluna Holdings will be in 3 years, but they all started as small companies, and they've all grown from acorns into these monsters. And, you know, I quite like what Soluna put out there. For a small company, they've got the hash rate close to sort of like what DMG have got, DMG blockchain. That's only part of their business. They've got a double-sized business in hosting, and now they've dedicated 2 megawatts, which is significant, 2 megawatts to HPC, Bear in mind, Bit Digital have dedicated 3 megawatts to HPC and they've got a 50 million annualized contract. So what's 2 megawatts potentially can bring in? Let you guys do the maths on that one. I know the answer, but that's something for you to do your homework and put it in the comments when you come up with the answer to that, and I'll mark it for you.
There you go. A little bit of homework for you guys. And I was going to bring up DMG too. We heard from Griffin. Rob Chang said the exact same thing. We are the companies that you see at the top of the list now, just a few years ago, right? And what's so great for all these small companies, not only is the price of Bitcoin really helping their position, but they're already in the public market and they already have access to capital. So when you start talking about Sato or DMG or Griffin, obviously Soluna as well, they have proven business models, as we heard from John with the Dorothy 1 project. And now they're just replicating that, right? With Dorothy 2, new data centers, DMG's got their immersion technology coming online this year. Sato's doing a ton of cool stuff with ordinals as well. So there's a lot of really interesting pieces of these smaller businesses, and at these type of prices and valuations, it's very, very hard to pass up. Now, the next tweet I wanted to bring up, it's your good friend Mike Alfred, Anthony, and I know you guys have a meeting coming up pretty soon here as well. I like to go when I'm having a bad day in the market or I'm starting to feel kind of uncertain about my investments. I like to listen to these type of guys, the Mike Alfreds, the Michael Saylors of the world. They really have a good way of instilling confidence. And this tweet from last night saying from Mike Alfred, I quote, "The technicals guys have flipped bullish. The fundamentals remain pristine. The halving is mere days away." I think tomorrow now, Anthony. The miners are putting up gap adjusted profits. And they've got the new FASB rules, plus the global elites are still trying to talk it down. We've got Elizabeth Warren out there spreading FUD. But it's important to understand this, you guys. If you look at it from a macro scale, ETFs are eating up 5-10 times the daily volume of Bitcoin. Tomorrow, the new supply is going to be cut in half, 450 Bitcoin a day coming offline. Or said another way, that essentially means 450 Bitcoin a day are just being pre-purchased and they're not available to buy anymore. Plus, you've got all of these nation states now getting involved. You've got the uncertainty with the fiat currency, the election cycle. So I know it's easy to get down in the dumps when you see a couple red days back to back to back, you're unsure why. But if you take a step back and think about this, you guys, we are in the right place at the right time. Now, the next chart I wanted to bring up, Anthony, it's actually from your recent Compass article, and it talks about the rally we've seen in Bitcoin over the last three halving epochs. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about this one? Because when you start looking in the column on the right, the percentages are looking very, very meaningful.
Yeah, so you know, yourself and I, we don't do forecasting Bitcoin. We leave that to the experts to try and come up with that idea, and then we sort of like look at how the experts have managed their strategy to work that price out when it gets to that point in time. But we have got historic data to go back, and if we look at the halvings and we look at the Bitcoin price a year before the halving date and a year after the halving date, it highlights the significant, you know, surge in price over those periods. So when we look at the first halving that occurred in November 2012, that year before the halving, the Bitcoin price rallied 385%, which is like, you know, that's phenomenal. No other commodity, would go that high in 12 months. Nothing can compete with Bitcoin. But then you take the 1 year after halving, and it's sort of mind-blowing. It's like 87x of your money. So if you'd invested, you know, $1 in Bitcoin on the day of the halving and waited a year, that dollar would then be worth $87. So that's a significant amount. We look at the second halving. The year before, the Bitcoin price rose 142% up to the halving. So again, it more than doubled in value. Post the halving, it trebled in value. So 296%, nearly 300%. So a year after, enormous increase. And then we look at the last halving back in May 2020. Now, the surge prior to the halving wasn't, you know, a big, but 21%. If you could turn around and say the S&P grew 21%, you know, year on year, that's phenomenal. I think the S&P, you know, on average grows maybe just double digits, whatever like that. So 21% is still, you know, a good return on your investment for 1 year. But look at the surge after the halving, 560%. And then we come to the current period now. So all we can do now is we can go back to April the 19th, April the 19th, 2023 was the halving date. So 1 year ago to current pricing now, 136%. And we don't know what it's going to be in a year's time. But, you know, you look at the historic position on Bitcoin, who's going to argue it's not going to, you know, potentially significantly increase? And basically, we're going down to 450 Bitcoin per day, you know, from Saturday, because, you know, the halving will occur, you know, I mean, something like, is it between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow? I think that's when the, when it's planned to occur. But, you know, so Saturday will be the first full day where there's 450 Bitcoin mined. And we know that these ETFs have been buying as much as Bitcoin as they've been buying. And they've been buying more than 450 days since they were approved back in January, early January. So, you know, and we know that, you know, four or five of these miners aren't really selling any Bitcoin now. So that's going to be an interesting position to be in. So, you know, this goes back to, again, you know, is that sort of 60,000 the bottom? And many of the analysts have come out there and the technical people that are in this space, you would spend a lot of time in this, as saying that that 60,000 is holding well there, and actually now maybe the price will start to rise. But as I say, you know, we won't give any, we won't get any sort of like Bitcoin price expectations from us, but we can show you historically what's happened before, and that gives you a sense of maybe something like that could happen again. But yes, an interesting chart.
Yeah, it is. And as you, as you're talking about the miners not selling, I have to draw the analogy to OPEC, right? It's not out of the realm that these Bitcoin miners just decide as a group, hey, we don't want to sell Bitcoin for a little while, and even restrict that supply more so. Now, the other thing you mentioned, Anthony, the halving tomorrow and Saturday being the first full day post-halving, we're actually going to be doing our first live stream on Saturday. We think we have it figured out. It's going to be a Q&A session, just a fun video, you guys, so feel free to drop by that. That's going to be at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. We've set a reminder on our channel as well. And to finish things off here, Anthony, I've just pulled up the price of Bitcoin and the miners. Every single miner that I follow is in the green today, it looks like, which is great. And Bitcoin's only up about maybe 2%, but a lot of these miners are up 5-6. We just talked about Soluna doing really good today. I'm taking a look at some of the other ones, Coors, Griffin, right across the board, all the way up to some of the bigger players like Iron, CleanSpark, Bitfarms having a nice day. So this is that torque or that leverage we talk about, right? Yes, it hurts us on the downside. Maybe Bitcoin drops 1%, the miners drop 3%. But when we start to see that inflection point and that green come back to the market, this is exactly what we're talking about. Wolf is up 12% today and Bitcoin is only up 2%. That's a 6x multiplier, you guys. And a lot of people in this industry, that's kind of the benchmark, right? Is about 3 to 5x is what you can expect on the miners based on the underlying asset. Again, using historical data only. So time will tell if that continues, but I'm definitely willing to make my bets here. When you talk about asymmetric risk, you guys, I don't think there's a lot of downside left in these names, and I definitely can see a lot of upside if the demand, the ETFs, the buying continues as we expect here, Anthony. So overall, you guys, feeling really good today. This is exactly why you stick to your guns. You do your due diligence. You trust yourself and your instincts in this market, and you don't get shaken out by BlackRock trying to steal your Bitcoin. Anthony, any final thoughts for us here?
Yeah, I mean, great that you talked about the live podcast on Saturday. I'm on a live Spaces meeting tomorrow, hosted by Luxor and a load of great people in that Spaces meeting. So that'll be an interesting session. That's just before the halving, so 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully, you can tune into that on there. It sounds like it's been a great. There's a great panel of speakers. So you know, I'm grateful to be included in that list of speakers. So that's where we are there. Another quick point is, if you look at what the mining stocks that we cover in our analysis, we cover about 15 of them. That just 15 represented about 20% of the Bitcoin production in March. So if you think about the 450 a day. You know, you're looking at 90 Bitcoin of those are coming from the miners that we just include. We only include half the public listed miners. Now, we do include most of the big ones, so it's not going to be 40%. But I believe the North American miners probably make up close to 30% of all Bitcoin mined globally. So that's a significant amount. That's like a third of all Bitcoin going to North America. And so, you know, we've seen the likes of Marathon Digital, Riot, CleanSpark, Hive Digital, Bit Digital, Cypher. These companies HUD8s have not been as have not, not they've been not spending any of the HODL, they've just been spending their production. But these companies are likely to, you know, maybe continue that holding more Bitcoin as each production month goes on. In their belief, I think if you've got any of those CEOs on the panel today, the reason they're holding Bitcoin is they believe that there's going to be some intrinsic value in that Bitcoin price later on, and they want to benefit from it. But bear in mind, 2022, you know, we had mining companies buying Bitcoin in them days, and you know that the Bitcoin price turned, and it's you know, from reaching that high at the end of 2021 when it reached 69,000, it started its trajectory down to 15,500 through 2022. And we saw those mining companies who bought in the January of 2022 selling during that year for half the amount they paid for it. So, you know, it is a case of, like, you know, be very careful what you're doing, do your due diligence. But half these miners think, you know, the price is going up. The other half are more than happy to sell their Bitcoin on a daily basis and grow, you know, increasingly that way. So, you know, it's good to have both of those, you know, strategies. You know, the best strategy from a piece of work that was carried out was a case of selling some of your Bitcoin, maybe, was the best strategy over the last 3 years. So that's what led me today.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good way to end, just as a life lesson. Generally in life, you guys, living in the extremes isn't the best way to go. Somewhere in the middle is where you want to be. So congrats to everyone who's held strong here, you guys. Hopefully this day continues to be green. As you said, Anthony, things can turn very quickly in this space, so we'll find some wood to knock on somewhere. Thanks for your time today. Have a great day, you guys. And these are the days that we live for in the Bitcoin mining space. Leave a comment. Throw us a like, you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.